be seated. It's been said that if you do not know where you are going, any direction will take you there. I think of stories I've heard, places, movies, a book, that there's this crossroads. Which way do I go? What direction do I go? And essentially, that is the message that is given. If you don't know where you're going, any direction will take you there. That you need, so that lesson moral is, you need to know where you are going. In Abraham, we see a man who is going somewhere, though his journey is mixed. God is leading him, and is a call to trust and to step out in faith. We see it in the account in Genesis as we continue, part two, looking at a big picture view of Scripture. And we see it referenced in the letter to the Romans. From this, I have three observations. The first two a little on the short side, but the third a little more in depth, and we'll camp more on that one. The first point, as we see in this account of Abraham, is that he is blessed to be a blessing. It's not just for you, but to in turn bless others. God has blessed him. God has blessed us. But it is for a purpose, to open us up to the needs of others. Now, some people give and give and they dry out. And so, if anything, the message they need to hear is, you know, nurture your walk with the Lord. Take care of yourself. Because, again, the people that don't do that well. But on the flip side, there is that concern for those who take the "it's all about me" philosophy. Humorous song came out decades ago, about my never-ending shopping list, where the person begins by saying, like in about three sentences, prayers for the world, and then it's, give me this, give me that, bless me, Lord, I pray, help me get what I need to make it through my day. And it's sort of a humorous thing is, again, what I want. But this here is, we are called to bless others. And there are many ways that you can bless others. Shameless plug for the PW event. The school supplies for Florence Black, just a block, two blocks away from us. A regular annual piece that we do now. There are those material ways of blessing. But there are others as well as that kind word that can be said. Sometimes we think of blessing, the car, something big that somebody needs. But sometimes it's just that encouraging word. Something that can be said along the way. A compliment. Lifting up somebody. Abraham is blessed to be a blessing, and that is for us as well. We have been blessed to be a blessing for others. And then one point was observed from our section of Genesis is altars everywhere. It seems that wherever he is going, he is building an altar, a way to remark, comment how the Lord is dealing with him. A reminder for us that worship can be a daily ritual. Some landmark, mark it with prayer. Mark it with a calendar. Mark it in your calendar. Now again, there are the big ways. I mean, there is the worship we do on Sunday, but it's not just Sunday. It's not just this hour. Now I'll admit, you just get on the highway and you have an opportunity before it's over to confess what's in your heart about the person that cut you off or whatever. You have an opportunity for supplication. Get me there safely. Or get that person out of my way. And then the over Thanksgiving, I've arrived. So, you know, simple drive will give you three opportunities for prayer right there. This is an invitation to reflect on our lives of where the Lord has dealt with us in the daily and in the big ways. And to mark it with a simple bit of worship. It could be a prayer, something that you have. A man took his children to a place. Now, they had, I think, about four children. Came fairly good succession. So we're talking maybe middle elementary down to upper preschool kind of range. And the mom just needed some time to herself. So, hey, kids, let's go off for a drive. And he and his wife had lived in this area before, and then had left and had started a family, and then had come back some years later, had come back to live in pretty much the same place. And so they're driving on the road, and he's pulled over to the side and said, hey, kids, let me tell you about this place. I remember before your mother and I, before you all were born, decision, should we make this particular move? And pros and cons. And we thought, you know, felt the Lord was leading us to make this move. And so whatever happens, you know, we prayed. And this is where we prayed. And as we were driving and just pulled over and we prayed, Lord, okay, not our will, yours be done. We will make the move. Just want to tell them a little story about the family. And the oldest child said, well, Dad, you need to build an altar here. He was like, well, what do you mean about that? Child had gone to Sunday school and had listened and said, when a person, you know, made an offering, this is what they did. I don't know if he built an altar there, but it made a good lesson for the children. As you review life, there's a place that you want to mark either mind or physically. So again, seeing worship as part of your daily life. So to be a blessing, to bless others, worship as part of the daily life, and then looking at the life of Abraham as the journey of faith. And in many respects, Abraham is the model for discipleship. But Abraham's story is complicated. Paul focuses on the highlight reels, and that's perfectly okay. Quite frankly, his focus is on the highlight reels and how it ends. But the actual day-to-day journey is complicated. It actually starts further back when his father moves them from Ur to Haran. They're in the Fertile Crescent, one of the four cradles of civilization. Ur would be the great big city. A London, a New York City, a Tokyo. And in that same culture moved up to the edges, or out, further up. I won't say necessarily the edges. And that was part of God's call to his father. And so they moved. That reminds us that we stand on the shoulders of others. Abraham's move of faith, I mean, he stood in that sense on the shoulders of his father. There are people that were worshiping when the church was at the square in the 1880s, 1890s. And you all stand on their shoulders. We all stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before. And then he had the big call to go east to the promised land. Now again, thinking of this story, my mind went back, dare I say it, to the summer of 1973 and the Christian Education Conference at Montreat in North Carolina. And my mother was going to be a Sunday school teacher for third and fourth grade, for the following year. And she had, the church paid for the staff with those teaching classes to go to this conference. And we were brought in to basically a lab school. The kids our age in the morning went to a laboratory Sunday school. And in the afternoon, the adult conference attendees, while we were at clubs, they had the debrief of what was done and why was done. And it was an immersive experience. So we were there that first day, and this man is dressed up like Abraham saying, I have gotten the call. And we learned about best they could about the time. That name's having meaning. So your name tag also had what your name meant. Now, I used my first name for that, dearly beloved. Erastus means dearly beloved, and so that was below Jones. But somebody might have, Ethel, I don't think anybody was named Ethel, but that's a reference to kings, Anglo-Saxon, so royal might have been that person's name. But anyway, we did that, and during the week we drank goat's milk, which was foul, I can't tell you, at least at that age. Maybe older, it's an acquired taste. We had matzah, we had dates. I liked dates, I found that out, okay? They tasted good. But all of that, and then we did, on the final day, we did our journey down to Lake Susan, big lake there, and danced the Hora and all of that. Okay, so there's a great long way of saying this great journey of faith. But reading the scripture, reading there, we see a lot of ups and downs, and humanly speaking, what I would call plan B and plan C. Yes, Paul is speaking of the end product, and that's valid. Well, got to look at the front end as well. You see, they enter the promised land, and he's been told, yes, got this promise before me, and I've got Lot, my nephew, who will be my heir. It's okay, he's family. But then he and Lot have their differences, and there is a separation. Don't worry, you'll be the father of many. Time comes, okay, that's great. I got a plan C on this one. Hagar, wife's primary handmaid, basically be the surrogate, and it counts. Sarah gets credit, I would get credit, and Sarah gets credit, and Ishmael is born, but that's not part of the plan, and that situation is pretty complicated, pretty messy. In the end, there is a place for Ishmael, but he is not the child of promise. With a small b, blessing, he will be blessed. He becomes the father of 12 himself and does very well. But it's Isaac who finally comes, who is the child of promise. Now, after Sarah passes away, Abraham remarries, and if I remember correctly, that's a couple of lady friends that he has, and there are children born of that, and the sons he sends out with lovely parting gifts to start their own lives. They're not kicked out with nothing, but the point is Isaac is the special child. In the end, it's Ishmael and Isaac who bury their father. Sarah has passed at this point, so we don't have that issue. They are the two that bury him, but Isaac is that child of promise. During the journeys of Abraham and Sarah, twice he passes her off as a sister so they won't think, oh, gotta get the husband out of the way and the widow lady can connect with the man in charge here. Again, we could go much more deep if we had a good series on Abraham, but his story is complicated and it's a bit messy. The end product we get in Romans, like I said, it's a faith, and I believe all of that is just as true, but the journey there was a little complicated. We see plan B or plan C in place and a few missteps, and yet God redeems that. Craig Barnes, just the last couple of years, retired as president of Princeton Seminary. Many years as a Presbyterian pastor. I think he was in Pittsburgh, and he was in Washington, D.C. Remember years ago, I wrote an article about the theology of Plan B, that often we start off thinking, well, Lord, this is what you've called me to do, a direction you've sent me, and then something else happens, and I go another direction. Now, some would say, no, it's all plan A. We just don't always realize it. From God's perspective, it's always A. We're seeing it a different way. We could debate that. But a sense that walking with the Lord, there will be some redirects, and at least from what we are seeing it, some missteps. Though again, I think God blesses all of it in the end. Think of the person who graduated and got his or her first job and ends up in Dallas or living in Dallas itself or one of the surrounding communities. And it would be logical to say, hey, you know, I've got this job. I may not do the job forever, but Dallas is a booming area the rest of my life. This is going to be where I am for the rest of my life. And then later, 20 years later, realize Dallas is just a chapter. You know, circumstances took me to Lubbock, took me to Little Rock, and then took me down to Lafayette or any other place like that. Despite, I think sometimes, despite himself, Abraham trusted, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And we are his children by faith. And that is interesting to think about that, because Abraham has these other children in the old-fashioned, natural old-fashioned way, but we are considered his children in the faith. And he wrote these words to people gathered in Rome, across the river in Trastevere, which essentially was on the other side of the tracks, and saying, you are his children. From this we see three things. Just a reminder that a walk of faith will involve, at least humanly speaking, plants a lot of plans, plan Bs. Not what I intended, but this is where I am. And a reminder that most of our life is lived on the plains. And we can think of the valleys, and we have definitely, all of us here have definitely been in valleys, okay? And we have had those hilltop experiences, those mountaintop experiences. They may have been in the hill country, but these have been mountaintops. But it's been pointed out that most of life is not lived in the valleys or the mountains, but on the plains. There's some dips, and there's some rises, and even a few bumps along the way, and unexpected vistas. But that is where most of life is lived. We live it by faith, trusting God. And finally, a reminder that this is a process. The Christian walk has been said numerous times. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And the marathon means pacing yourself. I don't think speak from experience on that. And at times, it's the great thrill. Think about the Marine Corps Marathon and passing the Lincoln Memorial and passing the White House. But once you get past that middle, that half, and you get that, yes, I made it halfway. That third, that middle fourth, that four sections, that third or fourth, the third quarter, it is grueling. And Capitol Hill is a hill, y'all. You don't realize it. Technically, I mean, it's not that much of a rise, but if you've run that many miles, y'all, it's a hill. But it's a process as well. And eventually, you're running up the hill past the Iwo Jima Memorial. This is a reminder that we are on a journey. Maybe this is a day for you to reflect where you are on that journey and what needs to be your next step. It's about walking with the Lord and trust. For several years now, on the new year, I post the famous words of a poem that was first read on air by King George VI in December of 1939. And it states, "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may head safely into the unknown. And the man replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. And that, when it's quoted, is usually ends there. But the poem continues and says, "So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And God led me towards the hills and the breaking of the day in the lone east." Our Lord led Abraham to the east in darkness and in light. Blessed to be a blessing, a reminder to worship at those moments of life, and in the end, trusting God with the process to lead us to the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I invite you to stand and let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.